Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've only heard these opens and those movie lines 8 million times in my life, and still, producer Dave can attest to the fact that every single time I hear the Star Wars theme or the Imperial March, I grin like an idiot. I don't know why, but I love them so much. In fact, I was biking when I was biking on Wednesday afternoon. I was watching season 4 of the Clone Wars, and I just saw, this is free information. It's bonus information for those of you who share my Star Wars nerddom, that there's a new series coming out, and some of you probably know this, that's based on Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's supposed to be a Disney Plus series like The Mandalorian, and they've actually got both Ewan McGregor and, oh, this is awful, Hayden Christensen to reprise his role as Anakin Skywalker. Can I tell you the truth? That was one of the worst decisions ever. He's so simpering. I can't stand it. But the guy that plays him in, I know it's an animated series, but the guy who voices Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars, Matt Lanter, amazing. I really feel like they should get him instead. I know he didn't make the role famous, but he's much better at it. All right, that was free bonus information, my side note and my tangent for the morning. Good morning to you. It's Thursday, peeps. It's Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're so glad to have you with us. We've been discussing very serious topics on the show, like whether or not Drew Brees is growing out his hair to prepare for his TV gig with NBC. Producer Dave, he's been busy with the photos of athletes on this edition of the show. Not only do we have side-by-side photos, Drew Brees media guide versus Drew Brees, it's a still shot, but it comes from his workout video that his trainer posted. So it sounds like I'm talking about Richard Simmons, the guy who started the whole workout video craze. Anyway, that's a blast from the 80s, but I make it sound like it's a workout video a la Olivia Newton-John. There we go. There's another one. Anyway, so it was a workout he was doing because he's crazy when it comes to his workouts. And his trainer, Todd Durkin, posted it. But back to the hair. I didn't notice this because I don't generally pay attention to things like this. But the rumor out there is, hey, check out his hair in the workout. It's way longer and fuller and more voluminous than it was during the season. So producer Dave grabbed two photos and put them side by side, and he wants to know what he thinks, that Brees is in fact getting ready for his TV gig. I guess he's going to flex. Maybe he's going to wear the tight shirts and show off the biceps in the TV gig as well. But I think it's circumstantial evidence, and if Drew hasn't made an announcement yet, I still am going to hold out hope that he returns, because I'm a big fan of Drew Brees. I think he's great for the NFL, and I will miss him dearly once he retires. So there's that photo or set of photos that's out there on our social media, After Hours CBS. I can't bear to retweet it. I can't do that to Drew Brees. So you're going to have to check it out on our show Twitter. Again, After Hours CBS. But also from the photo sets tonight, now I made producer Dave update it, because originally, when we put the poll on our Facebook page to ask you if James Harden should be an MVP candidate, we only got a photo of Harden in his fat suit. Now that, well, that's the theory. I think he was just puffing out his, you know, sometimes if you puff out your gut actually guys can do this and they can look like they're pregnant. I kind of feel like Harden was puffing out his gut. Oh, it hurts actually to do it for too long, just for the camera, just for the photo. You know that a picture can add, I was going to say a picture can add 10,000 words, but that of course would be combining my cliches. The camera can add 10 pounds. So maybe there were 7 cameras on him. We never know. But Dave did update the photos that are on Facebook. So now you get a side-by-side, like the Drew Brees. You get James Harden in Houston and James Harden in Brooklyn.
I really dislike the guy that called me a fat ass.
That, my friends, is Jay Gruden. Where is Jay Gruden these days? Wow. At least we know where Freddie Kitchens fell to. But what about Jay Gruden? Is he on his brother's staff in Vegas?
I think that was the last thing that had happened, but I have to double check now.
Yeah, we better do the Google search. Anyway, back to James Harden, fat suit and post-fat suit. Is he an MVP candidate? That's an interesting question. I knew it was going to come up. I knew eventually someone was going to start talking about Harden as a potential MVP. I'm not telling you he should win it or that he will win it. I don't know that we're at that point yet, but should he be a candidate? I asked that question of Howard Beck, longtime NBA insider, and I want you to hear his answer coming up in 10 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. Actually, it's probably more like 15, but you know, who's counting? Maybe you're counting, so I'll be accurate. Thanks for tuning in. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Why would James Harden be considered an MVP candidate? Well, because he continues to churn out triple doubles, because his team, his new love, the Brooklyn Nets, are 17-7 since he joined the team, since he forced his way out of Houston. If we're going to be accurate, let's be accurate. And because he continues to post triple doubles. But in all honesty, was there any chance he was going to do anything different in his return to Houston on Wednesday?
Harden up top. Step back over Tucker. A three is good for James Harden. And some cheers in the crowd in Houston. Harden creeping forward to the top of the arc. Crossover. Wall reached. Harden went in with a runner, and it's good. You reach, I teach, right? Harden now. Left wing, front court, three on the way. Good! James Harden with a three. He's got 27, and Houston needs a timeout. The net lead back up to 16.
Chris Carino on the Nets radio network. And he finishes with 29 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. Bigger picture, the Nets have their 7th straight road win, and they've also won 10 of their last 11. Now, because the Sixers beat the Jazz, actually top two teams in the NBA, at least in terms of their standings, squaring off last night, and the Sixers did hold off the Jazz in OT. So the Nets are not yet on the top of the East, but they're close. They're still just a half game back. Like I said, there was no chance that Happy Harden, ooh, that could be a great hashtag. Happy Harden, with his new love, the Nets, was not going to show off in this return to Houston. There was no chance that his teammates were not going to set him up and give him every opportunity. I applaud the Rockets because they took the high road. I couldn't bring myself to retweet it, but they posted on Twitter the tribute video they aired during the first quarter of last night's game, and Harden stepped out of the huddle. He raised his hands in the air, and then he patted his heart, patted his chest, and kind of a tribute, the praying hands that you do in yoga. So he acknowledged it. There was a mixed reaction from the crowd. It wasn't a big crowd, not capacity, unfortunately. There are about 3,500-ish fans inside the arena. Some were booing, some were cheering. But James Harden got the red carpet rolled out for him despite... No, that was for Roger Goodell, I'm assuming. Despite the way that things ended in Houston. And he was oh so generous after the game as well.
As far as, you know, playing in Houston, a lot of mixed emotions from the fans, but, you know, knew that was going to happen. I just wanted to come out here and give him a show. Once I get on that court, it's just trying to win. You know, I'm not really worried about anything else. So that was kind of, you know, my feeling. Win the game and do whatever it takes and do what you've been doing. Wasn't trying to show off, wasn't trying to do anything out of the ordinary that I haven't been doing.
whatever.
You could tell it meant something to him. You know, this place is special for James. You know, Houston means a lot to him, the city, the organization, what he accomplished here with these teams. So, you know, I know it was a big game for him. I was, you know, proud of him for the way he handled it.
You hear Steve Nash, kind of the modeled voice of Steve Nash. It's crazy what passes for audio quality these days, but this is where we are. Once everyone's vaccinated, who wants to be, and crowds are returning to arenas, I sure as hell hope we can have in-person press conferences again because I miss it. Also, I got to tell you, we'll get to this game in a second. I was listening to David Locke do the Utah Jazz Sixers game last night. He's the play-by-play voice for the Jazz. And there are times, and I know it's not just unique to them, but there are no broadcast teams that are traveling. So they stay at their same arenas, their home arenas. When the team is home, great. They're local. They can see the games. Otherwise, they're watching off a TV monitor just like everybody else is. And there are times when he makes the funniest sarcastic remarks about how he just stops talking. And you'll hear this big pause, and I'm thinking, oh no, did they lose their signal or did they lose their transmission? And then he'll come back and say, I have no idea what's happening. They didn't put anything up on the TV. We are watching what you're watching. But he's not the only one. There are a lot of broadcasters that also will do the same, kind of make the sarcastic remarks. And I can imagine it's frustrating. I know sometimes even when I'm in the arena, if there happen to be fans who are blocking a particular portion of the court and you have to go from watching what's on the court in front of you to either standing up trying to see or to doing it off a TV monitor, it's not the same thing. And if there's a delay worked into it, oh, it's even worse. So here's to full arenas, broadcasters on site, and press conferences in person. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So should James Harden be an MVP candidate? The question is not will he be the MVP, should he be a candidate? Again, on Twitter or Facebook. Oh, and on Facebook, you Facebookies, you. Dave, I asked him to put up the Drew Brees photos, so they're also on Facebook now, too. I mean, I don't know what's happening to us. We've got James Harden in a fat suit. We've got Drew Brees with new hair. We've turned into some kind of a TMZ outlet or something. So back to the NBA. Okay. There was a great finish. Well, if you're a Blazers fan, it was a great finish. It was a compelling finish between the Blazers and the Warriors late night, last game that was still operating in the NBA on Wednesday. And let's be honest, this was one of those games where you tune in specifically to see Dame Lillard, who was third in the NBA in scoring to start the game, 29.6 points per game. And then Steph Curry, who was just a smidge off that pace at 29.5 points per game. And unfortunately for the Warriors, I'm not exactly sure why, but they missed a ton of little bunny shots, layups, point blank attempts at the rim in the final couple minutes. And so they had an opportunity to pad their lead and weren't able to do it. Meanwhile, Damian Lillard does not care about the degree of difficulty.
Dame top of the key against Bazemore, steps back, deep three, buries it! Damian Lillard from Dame distance, and the Blazers lead 108-106, timeout Warriors.
I've seen this movie before, and it ends well.
13.7 left on the fourth quarter clock, and Damian Lillard with the biggest shot of the night. He's got 22 points.
I just tried to do a move to get Baze off me. I lost the ball, recovered it, and when I got the ball, I was just like, I'm just going to make him react to a move and get some space, and I'm going to raise up for this three.
Yeah. And then once it dropped through the cylinder, I don't even think it touched the rim. It was barely touching the strings, actually. He turns around and walks back toward the other end of the court. So, yeah, this is what Dame does, as you hear with Travis Demers and company on the Portland Trail Blazers radio network. It was a pretty sweet finish. Now, there were still roughly 13 seconds on the clock, and so the Warriors had a possession, and Steph finds Draymond Green on the right wing, and Green fakes and drives, so gets his defender off balance, drives, gets all the way to the hoop, puts the ball up off the glass, except that Dame was standing right outside the restricted area, the circle, and it was called an offensive foul. So Dame standing there, doesn't move, ball goes through, Warriors argue their case, no ejections were necessary, but they do not get the call. And so the buckets waved off, and the Blazers hang on to win by two. Now, the issue, of course, with the Warriors as they're clinging to this record just above 500, they actually fell out of the top eight in the West last night. So kind of back and forth, is that Steph Curry is the guy who can score. We know that. He's playing at an MVP level. Hit 35 last night to go along with 7 boards and 5 assists, 3 steals. But they just don't get enough around him on a consistent basis. Without Klay Thompson, of course, that is the major issue. They do have other guys. They're still trying to work into a rhythm and flow. They haven't played together very long, but it's just not as consistent. And that is the reason why the Warriors can't seem to put together a run of wins.
We just need more scoring in general from, you know, anybody other than Steph. I mean, we're, you know, he's generating everything for us on or off the ball. And obviously without Kelly tonight, you know, took away one of our best scorers. So we don't necessarily need scoring from one position. We just need people to step up night in and night out and provide some extra scoring for us. So we're not relying solely on Steph.
Steph is fun. He's electric. He shimmies. I mean, he doesn't mind carrying the load. And in Klay's absence, what you're seeing more of is Draymond Green facilitate, which is great. I mean, he has the ability to pass. He's a good passing big man. He's got good court vision. And so he'll routinely get 8, 9, 10, last night a dozen assists to go along with his rebounds. But that takes him away from the hoop and limits the number of shots. And he's not a guy who needs to be taking 30 shots anyway. But for Draymond, it's a different role this season. And as the floor general, he's got other responsibilities. They've got to have somebody else step up. And I know Steve Kerr mentioned there was no Kelly Oubre last night, but that is an issue. That's why they're just 19-17 and actually have fallen out of the top eight in the West. Though it's still early. There's plenty of time. We're closing in on the All-Star break, of course.
You can shimmy on somebody else, you got to be all right getting shimmy on.
I knew it. I heard it in my head. Hello, Steph. So the All-Star break is coming up. LeBron James finally took a night off back-to-back, and the Kings get a big victory over the Lakers. It's kind of like their NBA Finals. And in addition, you had this overtime battle between the Sixers and the Jazz. Wait until you hear what Donovan Mitchell had to say about the officiating. Now, even when Donovan gets mad, he apologizes to the security guard who he accidentally hits with the flying water cooler. But he did have some pointed comments about how officials are treating the Utah Jazz, even though they have the best record in the NBA. So you'll hear from him coming up. And I asked our longtime NBA insider, well, not ours, but Sports Illustrated's longtime NBA insider, Howard Beck, should James Harden be an MVP candidate? That's all coming up. Good morning to you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Fifteen seconds to go. Sixers are down 118-115. Tobias Harris to Embiid. Embiid is pushed by Bogdanovich. 9 seconds to go. Dribbles beyond the arc. Fakes a three. Shoots a three. It's up and good. 5.9 to go. Embiid is tied it at 118. Harris catches it against O'Neal. 8 to shoot. Left hand dribble to the right of the lane. Backing, turning, hanging, firing. It's good. Tobias Harris. He can't be stopped in OT. Sixers by 3. Utah ball. 93 seconds to go. 126-123. Harris now at 19.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tobias Harris with 11 points. In fact, half of his output in overtime as the Sixers, they outpace the Utah Jazz. And for the Jazz, even as the game was getting away from them, Donovan Mitchell frustrated with some calls and some no calls. He gets 2 quick technical fouls in OT about 30 seconds apart and ends up getting ejected in the overtime. And actually, on his way off the court, slams a water cooler that kind of hits the floor and then skids into a security guard, to whom he apologized, but he was fired up. Rudy Gobert was angry. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid is like flashing the T sign and taunting them. And so it really came off the rails in the overtime for Utah. And there was a missed call as well by the officials that could have been one that affected the outcome in regulation. There was a ball that was saved. I think it was Royce O'Neal who saved a ball from going out of bounds, never had his foot touch the ground before he let go of the ball. but some reason the officials missed it, and the possession was awarded back to Philadelphia. So it wasn't a great finish for Utah, and there was definitely a sense of frustration boiling over as they lose. But Donovan Mitchell takes it to another level on his Zoom call postgame. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Got some breaking news here coming up from baseball that we'll share with you. But first, this is Donovan Mitchell after getting ejected in overtime.
It's tough to go out there and see how we fight and compete and to have a game like that taken from us. And I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost. But this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things. And the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, you know, like we won this game in my personal opinion, you know, but like I said, I'm gonna give them credit. They won, whatever. Cool. But like, this is, it's a consistent thing. And you know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are. And it's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happening. You know what I mean? We have a whole second half of the season to go and get ready for, but like, I'm sick of it, to be honest with you. We all are, you know, and I think this is something that just, It eats me. It eats at me, man. And I don't. Y'all know what it is. We all know what it is. But it's really getting out of hand. It's really, really, really getting out of hand. And the league needs to do something about this.
Hashtag After Hours Hall of Flame. I am assuming that the league will in fact get in touch with Donovan Mitchell to discuss his opinions. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So bleeping ridiculous is his assessment of not just last night's game against Philadelphia, but about, in his opinion, in his estimation, how the officials treat Utah differently because they're not a major market team like Philly, like Los Angeles, like Boston, et cetera. So, yeah, he's going to pay a fine. Plus, he got ejected after last night's game. Now, we're going to get to the James Harden MVP question, but I want to mention this really quick. It's just breaking. Coming out of Boston, Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe, the first to report that Jackie Bradley Jr., former outfielder with the Boston Red Sox, will sign with the Milwaukee Brewers on a 2-year deal. So the news just breaking now. Jackie Bradley Jr., JBJ, is heading to Milwaukee, $24 million over 2 years. According to John Heyman, there is an opt-out after year number one. So another piece of the Red Sox that is departing, or that used to be with the Red Sox, that's departing for different pastures. Not necessarily greener, but different. All right, so we had Howard Beck from Sports Illustrated on the show during our first hour. Right after everything wrapped up with Warriors and with the Blazers. And so we talked about a lot of the various dramatic storylines coming out of the NBA. But one of the things I asked him was, should James Harden be considered an MVP candidate? Here is his response.
He won't be. He won't be. You can't force your way off of a team and do it the way that he did in season, skipping out on training camp, you know, going off and you know, being filmed at clubs amid a pandemic, and then finally showing up and being out of shape and sleepwalking through however many weeks of the season before he finally got traded. It's kind of disqualifying, frankly. You know, MVP is a high, high honor. And I think it doesn't mean you have to be above reproach on all counts, but that's a really rough way to start a season. And the entire season counts for MVP. It's not most valuable player of the, you know, last whatever, where it's a 72-game season. So it's not just about the 50-something games he'll play for the Nets. It's the whole season. And so all those games that he was kind of just tanking it with the Rockets, those count too. The other problem is that at some point Kevin Durant's going to start playing again, and James Harden won't even be the best player on his own team. So I don't think he's truly in the MVP discussion, though he could be on the ballot somewhere in one of those five slots. But the top of the ballot, you know, to me, that's still, you know, Joel Embiid, LeBron James, those guys are leading the discussion right now. Others will, you know, come and go within that discussion. I think it'll evolve as it always does, but that's the way I see it right now.
I am so happy to hear you say that, because it feels like over the last week, maybe week and a half, that all has been forgotten and forgiven, and yet I still have a bad taste when I watch him play. And again, I thought the Rockets took the high road, but I don't think his teammates or his new coach, or I guess the guy who was his coach in Houston, have forgotten how ugly that was at the beginning of the year.
No, and look, it's because people get bored. Sports media gets bored with the same conversations. And so after the LeBron James versus Joel Embiid debate for MVP at the quarter season mark and the third of the season mark, and the Nets playing so well without Durant and Harden, you know, look, all credit due to Harden. He is playing at an MVP level. Like, that's clear. Let's not be, let's not diminish that at all. It's not that he's not playing at an MVP level. In terms of both winning and the way he's played, the way he's lifted up this team. And I think, to his credit, he has shown during his time with the Nets so far that he can do all the things that some of us weren't sure he could do, reining his own game in, being more playmaker. He's still scoring a lot, but his usage rate is way down. And that's all to his credit. And if he had started the season with the Nets on day one, even if he had forced his way out of Houston, that's fine. You guys force their way out all the time. But if he had started with the Nets on day one and been this guy from day one, maybe we'd be talking about him as a viable MVP candidate, even with Durant on his team. But the first month of the season was this just ugly, just messy situation that he created, and you can't dismiss that.
So according to Howard Beck, longtime NBA insider now with Sports Illustrated, James Harden should be disqualified as an MVP candidate because of not forcing his way out of Houston, but the way he did it. And he reminds us that he not only skipped training camp, he went MIA. He was filmed at clubs when he should have been with his teammates. He was out of shape. I mean, producer Dave believes it's a fat suit. I kind of feel like that's elaborate, but whatever. He absolutely disrespected his teammates and his new coach in Houston so he could get his own way. And I'm sitting around thinking, are you kidding me? Are we just going to forget that happened? But Howard Beck makes a lot of really good points. And then, of course, he also brings up Kevin Durant, who right now isn't playing for the Nets. And Durant, while he's been out for a few weeks now, his numbers are just, maybe not as many assists, but his numbers are right there with James Harden's. And so likely, even if there were MVP votes for the Nets players, they'd be split among those two guys. But regardless, I'm glad not everybody's forgotten about what James Harden did. So should he be a candidate for MVP in your opinion? That's the poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. One more quick note. We were asking the question earlier, what has become of Jay Gruden? Well, producer Dave did a deep dive, and I saw at least one person tweet. Dave, that's it. Just one person had the answer on Twitter. He was the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars last season. That would explain why nobody knew where he was. He has since been let go, of course, the coaching purge there. And so Jay Gruden is a free agent, if you will. All right, coming up, why was why was Aaron Boone doing his Zoom call from a hospital bed on Wednesday? We will answer that question. In addition to that, we've got a little bit of football to throw at you. Taylor Heinicke, should he be the starter in Washington? He answers the question.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And all of a sudden, I saw my wife, and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, "What more do you have to prove?"
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick. Right. So I think I moved on to something else pretty quickly.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ah, Tampa. It is the City of Champions right now, and Tom Brady is all smiles. A little more of Comedy Hour on the Late Late Show with James Corden. I know you all appreciated his narrative of Vince Lombardi trophy tossing at the parade, and we found that bite about his wife and what Giselle said to him right after the Super Bowl. Not so cryptic message to her husband, who's never retiring. Never. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Late Late Show with James Corden on CBS. And that was Tom Brady, who matched the curtains and the chair with his outfit. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page, we want to know if you think James Harden should be an MVP candidate. Not will he win it, but should he be a candidate? All right, so that's the poll that's up on this edition of the show. And, of course, it will continue on throughout the day. Excuse me. The other piece of kind of evidence, circumstantial as it is, that we put up on our Facebook and Twitter, two side-by-side photos of poor Drew Brees, who now is being scrutinized for his hair. I said this earlier, it's a billion-dollar business probably in the United States of America, globally maybe too, but I don't really care about the rest of the world. But in North America, there are how many millions of men who attempt to grow hair, and they're not going on TV. So maybe his wife just wanted him to have a little more hair. She has a lot of hair. She's beautiful. Blonde, long blonde hair. Or maybe he's vain and wanted some more hair. I don't know. Either way, it's circumstantial. But yes, that's the theory now. Rampant speculation that Drew Brees is in fact retiring because he's got more hair. I mean, that's not flimsy at all, is it? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So we're kind of down that quarterback rabbit hole with the old guys. Well, a younger guy who had an opportunity to show off his stuff in the playoffs, that was Taylor Heinicke. Of course, it was Washington and it was Tampa in that first wild card game that took place in the nation's capital. And we haven't heard a whole lot from Taylor Heinicke since then, but it was clearly a neat opportunity for him. He was excited for the chance to be out there on the field. And because Washington has, of course, released Dwayne Haskins, who's now with Pittsburgh? That doesn't sound right. No, not. I don't remember where he is. Anyway, he's not in D.C. anymore. And in addition to that, we know Alex Smith has been released or will be released as well. And so it's Taylor Heinicke, it's Kyle Allen, and Washington continues to inquire about other quarterbacks. But yesterday, Taylor was asked whether or not he assumes, I mean, you know what happens when you assume, right? Are you the assumed, the presumptive starting QB for Ron Rivera?
The best answer, honestly, is it's going to be a competition. I think that's the best way to do it. I think that's what Coach Rivera has said. Also, he's harped on that. I think that's best for everybody. I think you get better with competition. You know, if say he named me starter, you know, a lot of people kind of get complacent and stuff like that, and we don't want that. We want to compete, push each other to get better, and go from there. But, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Yeah. But thank you, Taylor. That's great. I was right. Always go with your first answer. Isn't that what they tell you about test taking in the SAT? Always go with your first answer. Yes, in fact, Dwayne Haskins is on the depth chart in Pittsburgh. But back to Washington. He can call it a competition, but a competition with whom? Okay, Kyle Allen, presuming he's healthy. I would assume he's healthy by the time training camp or competition begins. And Taylor Heinicke. But there's got to be somebody else. We know they're looking for somebody else. So who else fills out that depth chart for Ron Rivera in year number two? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We had kind of started this a little bit earlier. I think we'll bring it up for a legit question tomorrow, because I was hearing this debate recently about the division in football that has the best collective group of quarterbacks. And I heard a case for the NFC West. I could make a case for the NFC South, even if they're older. definitely, if you look at the NFC North, although the Bears don't really have a quarterback right now, but we're talking Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, as well as Kirk Cousins, who's not going anywhere and is coming off a season in which he threw 35 touchdowns. You could probably make a case there as well. So I think it's kind of a fun debate, maybe one that we'll enjoy using to wrap up the show. 855-212-4227. Let's work in this call here. Steve's in Maryland. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, great show. Haven't talked to you in a while. The only award, and you're going to love this, James Harden should get is the Spicy Dill Award. Do you agree with me?
I mean, maybe there's some other award out there like Best Beard or something of the sort. Oh, you know, most weight loss during the season. That would be another one. We should create that one.
I like that, too. Very good. Thanks very much.
Spicy Dill Award. All right, Steve, have a great day in Maryland. Spicy Dill. Yeah, he's spicy, all right, when he wants something. So, yeah, the idea being that James Harden burned some bridges there in Houston, even if the Rockets took the high road on Wednesday night, which I appreciate. I don't know if I would have done the same. I suppose it would have been noticed if there was no tribute video, and you don't ever want to look like you are a woman scorned, so to speak. So I'm glad they took the high road. He did win an MVP or two. Did he win two? One, two. See what I mean? Go with your first answer. One. He did collect an MVP. He obviously was critical in the number of playoff appearances they made, though they didn't get to win a title. But there's a long history there. So, okay. We'll just put it to bed. Should he be an MVP candidate now, though, with the Brooklyn Nets? Again, on Twitter or on Facebook. All right, so just before the break, before we got to Brad Heller with the update at the bottom of the hour, I mentioned that Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees, did a Zoom call from his hospital bed. Business as usual on Wednesday, even though he has to take some time away for medical leave. And Brian Cashman was meeting with the media to let people know that Boone had a pacemaker put in yesterday.
Nothing's more important than your health and your family. And he let me know last night that today, obviously, he was going to get it taken care of. He put me at ease, you know, when he first told me a number of days ago what was going on, that, hey, with today's science, which is, you know, so incredibly impressive, that, you know, this is an outpatient situation and you can be up and running within 24 to 48 hours and back to normal.
Cashman said he wasn't even sure that most of the media knew that Boone was in his hospital bed. If they hadn't known about the pacemaker, they wouldn't have known where he was doing the Zoom call from. So I'm glad he is feeling well enough to participate and go about his business as usual. Obviously a critical time for the Yankees, though far better to get that taken care of so you don't have to worry about it. And I'm glad that Boone is putting his health as a priority as opposed to waiting until it becomes a dire issue and becomes dangerous. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We had talked about this roughly 24 hours ago, that the Indians were likely to be muzzled in making any comments about the Mickey Callaway situation. And while we had heard from Terry Francona, just kind of cryptic, I want to be able to talk about Callaway's time here in Cleveland, what we knew and how he handled it, but I can't right now. I hope there's a time moving forward. Chris Antonetti is now saying the same thing, kind of echoing that.
The last time we had talked, the investigation had not yet started, so I had more latitude with what I was able to share. With the ongoing investigation, the most important thing is that investigation is able to maintain its integrity, its thoroughness, its impartiality, and I don't want to do anything that would jeopardize that investigation. And as importantly, we look forward to learning what that investigation reveals so we can make sure that we address everything in totality and not in piecemeal.
And so at this point, MLB is handling the investigation. The Indians and their front office probably glad they don't have to answer any questions right now, though they will at some point get called on the carpet. And then the breaking news in baseball that's been reported all over the place now, but started with Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe, that Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to Milwaukee. And according to John Heyman, it's a 2-year deal for $24 million. And he is planning to tell the Brew Crew today. So I'm not kidding. That's what the tweet says from John Heyman. He's planning to tell the crew he is accepting their offer today. I'm guessing he's not going to have to tell them because it's all over social media, courtesy of the Boston Globe initially. All right, one more thing. Your picture of leadership before we wrap up. Zion Williamson missed 8 of 16 free throws in the loss that the Pelicans had to the Bulls on Wednesday night. 28 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He shot over 50% from the floor, but he was upset about his free throws, and so he went back on the court after the game to practice at the free throw line before he did his Zoom call with reporters.
You know, I really felt like I let my team down, man. You know, it's like I tell y'all, I never wanna let them down. And you know, all those free throws, it can't go down like that. I gotta be better in that situation. If I wanna be one of those great players, I gotta take a lot of responsibility and I gotta be ready for those moments. So, you know, right after the game, I just felt like I had to go back on the court and, you know, find my flow.
I hope that he found his flow. Such a big believer in Zion. And he's also part of the conversation I had with Howard Beck in the first hour of the show. We talked about Zion and this kind of rise and step into the superstardom and the fact that he is also worth the price of admission, even as the Pelicans are still a few games below 500. But yeah, he gets back out on the floor at the empty Smoothie King Center and he's working at the free throw line so that he can find his flow because he missed 2 big ones down the stretch in the game, a game in which the Pelicans lost by just 4 points. So everything else that he did kind of faded into the background because he feels like he let his team down. And we had talked about Zion a little bit. Last week, we were talking about athletes we need to see more of in 2021. And producer Dave said Zion was his first choice. We need more of Zion. And I agree. And this picture of leadership from a guy who didn't have a full rookie season, is trying to get in shape himself, is trying to be the catalyst and lead the Pelicans to the next level so they're back to relevant again. Forget all about Anthony Davis, but you can see the progress in his game. Yeah, there's talk about the defense, but you can see that this kid is going to be a game changer in the NBA. And there he was, empty. The balls bouncing off the court and echoing around the Smoothie King Center because he needed to practice his free throws. Compare that to James Harden, who maybe is practicing free throws, maybe doesn't need to. But should he be an MVP candidate, all things considered? Check out the poll on Twitter and Facebook. We'll talk to you tonight after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.